western star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and we are here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Let me start by saying Happy New Year, and I hope that you had a very, very blessed and Merry Christmas with you and your family. We pray that this will be a wonderful year for you, and that the Lord will bless you, bless your children, bless your work, bless your home, and bless all the good intentions within your heart. And so, my friends, again, welcome to Finding God in Prison. It's a new year, and let me start off by asking you a question. Where will you be 20 years from now? In the year 2040, where will you be? Where will your life go in the next 20 years? When we started the WINGS program, my friends, we started in 1993, and we used to ask the question, where will you be in 20 years? In the year 2013, where will your life be headed? Well, now it's the year 2020, and that was 7 years ago. And that destination, you know, was basically, you know, just put out there to create some vision into the future. And with that, I want to inspire you to start setting some short-term and long-term goals to move your life and the lives of your children in the right direction. Very, very critical that we have some goals to achieve. And we set no goals without a date of completion. Very, very important. So as we go into our show today, we're going to dedicate our show to the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And, you know, my friends, it's a beautiful thing that we have the Holy Family as a role model for family life, something so important, where we see throughout the world truly the breakdown of marriage, the breakdown of families, and not only first marriages, but even second marriages. Because marriage is both a blessing and it can sometimes be a burden, we have to work at it. And we all know this. And the work is done each and every day in what we call the 168, the total hours available in a given week. But we want to dedicate our show again to our Mother Mary and Joseph, St. Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, our Blessed Mother Mary, and of course, Jesus himself. The Holy Family truly created with the birth of Christ, and hence we have, you know, Christmas Day and the Christmas season, which is just a beautiful, you know, sight, you know, and vision for all of us to look forward to each and every day of the year. We look forward to the coming of Christmas Day. And so we prepare for that. But what are we doing truly to prepare for marriage and family life? Something so important. Very often people are preparing only for their careers, for their education, writing papers, taking examinations, preparing for sporting events. But truly, we have to prepare for family life concurrently while we're doing all those other things. It's so important that we balance. We find balance between family life and sports, family life and education, family life and work, family life and community service. We want to balance those out so we don't lose our families to other things, making those other things more important than our wives and children, our husbands and children. Very often we go out to change the world, to do things for other people, when in fact we may be neglecting our own families and our own children. And this is very, very important. So this year, with the new year upon us, the year 2020, which is here now, we want to set some short-term and long-term goals to include our families, our children, in some of those things that we're doing outside the home so that we can, you know, have solidarity. We have a cohesiveness, which is so important, and we have a team, you know, approach to success in family life, which is so important. And before we go any further, I want to thank Dale and Jane for having me back here on the air at Holy Spirit Radio, and for Frank for producing our show. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here one more time. And you know, Finding God in Prison has been on the air since 2014. You can always go to holyspiritradio.org and to local programming and tap into any one of our shows, which is there listed since 2014. And we have many, many shows, including many guests who join us for each and every show. And so you can always go and enjoy listening to the program. Also, as we highlight the Wings program in Finding God in Prison, we want to keep you up to date on what we've been currently doing. And we're now in our fifth session coming up on Monday, okay, in our curriculum. And you know, we have 22 men the other day, and we've been doing great for the first four classes over at CFCF on State Road. And, you know, the Wings program basically strives to get to the heart and minds of our men, to bring them peace, to bring them love with 100% accountability, trying to prepare men to go home. And, you know, one of our men shared with us something very, very confidential, but anonymously, I'll tell you that when we get to arrive, when we arrive at relationships which are terrific, that they are loving and supportive and honest and sincere and respectful, men sometimes share with us some very, very important things about their lives. Sometimes it's a wound from the past. And I just tell you that at the end of our last session, one of our men came forward to me privately, along with Bill Monick, shared with us that he was sold as a child for drugs and for sex, and that he was raped, and that it was truly, you know, his family that did this terrible thing to him. And that's why we do what we do, my friends, so that we can go forward with forgiveness and with strategies for receiving apologies from people who have wounded us. Very, very important. And we had a man about 3 years ago who shared with us that his father had raped him. And he was an ex-Army gentleman, and he was 24 years old and hadn't spoken to his father. And, you know, basically we spoke out in the hallway, and he told me confidentially that he had been raped at age 11 by his father. And it really was a wound in his heart and his mind that won't go away. And so I said, you know, that's a terrible thing to have this happen to you, and you really need an apology from your father. You have to close that wound, but you have to forgive your father as well. And so he hadn't spoken for 2 years to his father. And with that, we wrote a letter of forgiveness to his father, and in the letter extended a warm and loving invitation to come visit his son in prison over at the Philadelphia Industrial Correctional Center. And so his father received the letter and decided to take action, and he came in to visit his son. And during the visit, he apologized to his son for what had happened 13 years before. And with that, the son truly, you know, was able to, you know, move forward in his heart and in his mind, and to truly, you know, forgive his dad for what had happened. But I tell you, my friends, this gentleman who was sold as a child for drugs and sex, who was raped by different people in his family, he told us, you know, basically this in confidentiality, But I truly believe that he wants the same result that the other gentleman received. And it's through letters of forgiveness that we sometimes get the apology that we're waiting for from the other person who created that wound of the past. Because, you know, the wounds of the past are unable to be changed. And this is it. There are three things in the world that you cannot change. One is the past. I wish we could, but we cannot change the past. Okay, we can only understand the past, accept the past, forgive the past, and God gives us a peace that we never knew before, that peace of mind that only God can provide with our humility to forgive someone else. And he calls us to forgiveness at the top of the cross when he says, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. And this is exactly where we're at in the same, you know, space as the Lord was, wounded. And he's calling us to forgive. With this forgiveness, we can look forward to maybe getting the apology that we always needed from someone who wounded us. And this gentleman is in that same category now. And guess what? He's about 40 to 45 years old. He's not a teenager. He's been dealing with this for decades, and he wants desperately to feel good again. And truly, he's been living with this disappointment and this wound for many years. So we will, in the WINGS program, in session two, go through the letters of apology and the letters of forgiveness that bear great fruit. And this is, you know, why we do what we do. Also, we're in session four previously this week, and now we're going into session five, which is all about finding joy in daily life. And joy is something that I wish for you, my friends, this year and the year 2020, that you truly, you know, fill yourself spiritually, mentally, and physically in a positive way each and every day, and that you go forward taking action to feed yourself physically, mentally, spiritually, for the mind, the body, and the soul, each of them growing, moving forward, helping you to grow financially, educationally, residentially. In all ways, we want to be growing because stagnation breeds depression. So we must be growing, and then we have balance when we're feeding ourselves equally, mentally, physically, spiritually. And with that balance, we can do great things for the Lord himself. And so as we go forward, my friends, in this curriculum, which began on December 16, 2019, we're now moving into a Monday session on January 6th, the fifth session of this 10-week, 20-session program, which will truly terminate in late February, early March, and we will graduate our group of men, preparing them for the outside to be discharged with a plan of action for the judge and for themselves, something very, very important. So if you have someone who needs our help, give us a call at here at the station at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. And maybe we can offer some words of wisdom. Plan of action can be created and moving people forward in a positive way. And today in our show, we're going to, before we get into the gospel, okay, of Luke and also of Matthew, I just want to give you some statistics. As we're talking about children who are abused, this is a very, very important time in our nation and around the world to highlight the fact that there are children who are abused, and there are statistics and facts associated with them. Children are suffering from a hidden epidemic of child abuse and neglect. It's a widespread war against our children that we have the power to stop. And understanding the issue is the first step. Just how bad is the issue of child abuse in the United States? Every year, more than 3.6 million referrals are made to child protection agencies involving more than 6.6 million children. The United States has one of the worst records among industrialized nations, losing an average between 4 and 7 children every day to child abuse and neglect. A report of child abuse is made every 10 seconds. Yearly, referrals to state child protective services involve 6.6 million children, and around 3.2 million of those children are subject to an investigated report. Do you know which type of child abuse is most prevalent? In 2014 alone, state agencies found over 702,000 victims of child maltreatment, but that only tells part of the story. This would pack 10 modern football stadiums. Here's a statistic from the health area that impacts child abuse. The United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention links adverse childhood experiences, which include other household dysfunctions, along with abuse and neglect, with a range of long-term health impact. Individuals who reported 6 or more adverse childhood experiences had an average life expectancy 2 decades shorter than those who reported none. Some of the mental health disorders, addictions, and related issues are as follows. They have a higher risk for intimate partner violence, alcoholism and alcohol abuse, illicit drug use, smoking and drinking at early age, depression, and attempted suicide. And for sexual and reproductive health issues and risk factors, there's a risk of multiple sex partners, sexually transmitted diseases, unintended pregnancies, early initiation of sexual activity, and adolescent pregnancy and fetal death. In one study, 80% of 21-year-olds who reported childhood abuse met the criteria for at least one psychological disorder. And with regards to financial impacts of child abuse, the long-term financial impact of abuse and neglect is staggering. New cases in 2008 alone, lifetime estimates of lost worker productivity, healthcare costs, special education costs, child welfare expenditures, and criminal justice expenditures added up to $124 billion. This could send 1.7 million children to college. With regards to child abuse fatalities, we must learn to recognize early signs of abuse in order to help save the 5 children that die every day from child abuse and neglect. In the year 2014, state agencies identified an estimated 1,580 children who died as a result of abuse and neglect, between 4 and 5 children a day. However, studies also indicate significant undercounting of child maltreatment fatalities by some state agencies by 50% or more. And more than 70% of the children who died as a result of child abuse or neglect were 2 years of age or younger. More than 80% were not yet old enough for kindergarten. And around 80% of child maltreatment fatalities involve at least one parent as the perpetrator. Do you know how many children will die today from child abuse? In a study of 513 children exposed to drugs in utero, rates of abuse were 2 to 3 times that of other children in the same geographical area. And this is important, my friends. This is an important topic. Hence, we have the Holy Family as the role model for family life, and where we have a mother and a father who are taking care of their children in the 168. in daily life, the total hours available in daily life. How much time are we giving to our children? How much time are we working instead of taking care of our families? Do we have balance in family life between sports and family life, hobbies and family life, community service and family life? Are we taking care of our children properly? As many as two-thirds of the people in treatment for drug abuse reported being abused or neglected as children. 14% of all men in prison and 36% of women in prison in the United States were abused as children, which is about twice the frequency seen in the general population. Children who experience child abuse and neglect are about nine times more likely to become involved in criminal activity. So you can see, my friends, the tie-in to our work in Finding God in Prison, that we have significant numbers of people in our program who were neglected or abused or both by their family within family life, okay, as they knew it growing up, which led them to a life of criminal activity. And so things don't just start. There's a reason for everything. And, you know, as we get into the lives of our men in this 20-session, 50-hour, 10-week program, we have opportunities to get to know our men, to understand them, to meet them where they are, and to help them to find a road path, a roadmap or a pathway to God, who can heal those kinds of wounds, because no one can heal those wounds of the past. You know, it's just too huge a task for a human being, and we need God's help to do it. And all things are possible with God. That's the message in St. Luke, the message of the gospel. So we have the Holy Family as the role model. And my friends, I encourage you this year to seek God out and to help yourself and your family in a positive way to get to those higher levels of peace and joy. Very, very important to eliminate the jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, and the superego. To get that humility to be able to say, I love you to your children. I love you to your wife, to your husband, and to slow down, to enjoy your time. The most valuable asset that we have is that great gift of time. And take the time to truly, you know, get to the heart and mind of your wives and husbands and your children. Very, very important. Following the footsteps of Jesus and Mary and Joseph, our holy family. And this show is dedicated to our Holy Family for that reason, my friends, because we need their help in getting our homes established as loving and joyful and peaceful homes. We need their help to do it, and I encourage you to set some goals for family life to make things happen. And another segment I want to get into is child sex trafficking, okay, which is a cycle of abuse. And this is important, my friends, because it's like a trailer to the subject we just talked about, child abuse, child trafficking. And it's very important. The commercial sexual exploitation of children is another term or what we often call child sex trafficking. While anyone can be a victim, we know that kids who are homeless and runaways, okay, who are part of various communities, and youth interacting with the child welfare system are more vulnerable to this type of exploitation. We've highlighted specific vulnerabilities, but we know that they are not mutually exclusive categories. So let's take a look, my friends. African-American, Latino youth, the LGBTQ community, and various others. Over 91% of the girls participating in Los Angeles Star Court, a court for child sex trafficking victims, are African American or Latino. African American and Latino youth are overrepresented in child sex trafficking cases. According to the FBI, 52% of all juvenile prostitution arrests are African American children. So we must get that message out to our friends because, you know, God calls us to love one another. And part of loving another person is trying to help them to, you know, line up with what God says to do and what he says not to do. And as parents, we need to help each other, but help our children as well. And in these communities, it is very, very pertinent information. It's very applicable to the culture. Right? Instability creates opportunities for traffickers to reach out and bond with vulnerable children. These relationships are then used against the child to initiate sexual activity. Domestic data is limited. When refugees and migrants find themselves in a hostile country, their likelihood of seeking legal support to protect their children is less likely. Looking internationally, 76% of refugees surveyed in the Mediterranean indicate they had been trafficked or exploited. With regard to the LGBTQ youth, 40% of homeless youth identify as LGBTQ, although they are 7% of the population. A New York City study estimated that more than 1 in 4 homeless LGBTQ children and nearly half of gay or bisexual boys are victims. And so this is a huge factor, my friends. And I want to highlight these things because this is very, very important. With regards to the homeless youth, homelessness is a clear risk factor that increases the chances of exploitation. A study conducted by Covenant House New York, a shelter and service provider for youth, found that 1 in 5 of the homeless youth that surveyed in the United States and Canada were victims of human trafficking. So I just want to bring this to the forefront to you today, my friends, because you know, in 2018, an estimated 1 in 7 runaway youth are endangered runaways, reported to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and they were less likely to be sex trafficking victims. So I want to think about your children. Are they happy at home, or are they possibly thinking of leaving the home early, running away? We've had many kids in the WINGS program kind of grow up with us and are now in their early 20s. And certainly in the WINGS program, we began in Olney Elementary School in 1993 and also Lady of Calvary up in North Philadelphia. And I just tell you that because, again, what can you do to what can you do to get your children on the right path, to avoid that association with the wrong people? We call it the circle of influence. My friends, we only have another 30 seconds before we go to a break, but I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Joe Montone here at Finding God in Prison at Holy Spirit Radio. It's a new year, and I want to wish you a happy new year. If you're just tuning in with us, we're here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. I want to, again, highlight that the fact that it is a new year. It is time to set some goals for family life, both short-term and long-term, to get some things going and truly to enjoy, you know, the Lord's, you know, peace and getting to that station in life. So we have more peace and more love. So we're going to take a break now, and we'll be back after the break. God bless you.
We are blessed each week to have the Order of St. Paul the Hermit, the Paulines, share their work with us on Czestochowa Radio. Learn of events at the Shrine of Czestochowa in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, as well as their work in the U.S., Poland, and around the world. Czestochowa Radio, Sundays at 4:30 p.m. in Polish and 4:45 in English. Holy Spirit Radio, your Philadelphia Catholic radio station, home of Czestochowa Radio, Sundays at 4:30 p.m.
While visiting family a few days after Christmas 3 years ago, I got a call in the middle of the night from Shelley, a family friend.
Your house burnt down. It's bad, but I haven't been there yet.
She wasn't kidding. Nothing left but ashes. Praise God my family was safe. That's when Summers & Zim's customer, Brian Campbell, offered to put my family up rent-free in the spec home he had been using for his home building business. When townspeople left donations for us at our home site, and even the Phillies wanted to hold a fundraiser for us. Of course, we gave that money back to the Rose of Sharon Orphanage in the Dominican because the business was fine, and Bob Ward and Woodford Insurance came through for us. But that generosity transformed how I felt about serving the community through business. I'm Joe Zimmerman, and if you live in southeastern Pennsylvania, you're part of the community that was here for me when it mattered. And I promise Summers & Zim's will be there for you when you need us.
Remember, when you think plumbing, heating, and air, think Summers & Zim's. Contractor number PA3778.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Joe DeFinis of DeFinis Insurance and Financial Group, an exclusive agency with Nationwide, providing auto, home, life, and commercial insurance located in Roxborough with offices in Montgomery and Delaware counties. Joe can be reached at 215-483-4040. That's 215-483-4040.
And King, His love endures forever.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Joe Montone, your host. You're listening to Finding God in Prison. It is a new year, the year 2020, and we've been waiting for 20 years for this year to come. Back in the year 2000, we used to, you know, open up our presentations with the question for the kids in schools and also our friends in prison. Where will you be in the year 2020? Where will your life be headed? Well, we've arrived, my friends, at the year 2020, and we as a nation truly have to come to terms with that, and time is short. We need to make great decisions and move ourselves forward in a positive way, mentally, physically, and spiritually, and there's no better way to do it than to put God at the forefront. He is the captain, and we are the co-pilots moving forward using, you know, His inspiration through the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, the love of God, the power and peace of God to touch the hearts and minds of other people. And right now we want to get into the Gospel of Luke, which we're focused on today. Truly, which just passed the feast day of our Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Luke 2, 16 to 21 says this, my friends. When the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go then to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about the child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord. And this is, you know, very powerful. The Gospel of Luke, making the case for the true presence of Jesus and the creation of our Holy Family. And the visitation here, the visit of the shepherds. You know, we sometimes get lost in the Christmas season with gift giving. But here, you know, we see the shepherds, you know, coming. And what a beautiful gift for Jesus, Mary, and Joseph to have the support of other people coming who are interested, supportive, loving, who know God and who praise God for all that they had heard and seen. It's a powerful message. And so in the midst of the Christmas season, my friends, you know, which is now passing, and we're now, you know, beyond and into a new year, and waiting for the epiphany of our Lord, which is coming up this weekend, where we will celebrate on the 6th of January, the epiphany of our Lord. And we will get to that gospel in a second. But here we see in the Gospel of Luke, you know, Luke highlighting for us, teaching us about the Lord's birth and how the angel played the role in Mary's life and in Joseph's life and bringing, you know, the Lord into the world, you know, to bring them comfort. God uses every tool that he can, including the angels, to provide the words necessary to bring peace into the heart of Mary, bring peace into the heart of Joseph, who took Mary as his wife, and Mary, who conceived without sin, and who had no man in her life, truly, but through the Holy Spirit, the Lord was born. Through Mary, we have the mother of Christ. We have the Holy Family created. And so we acknowledge this gift to us by God the Father, who loves us so much that he sends his only Son to us to help create the Holy Family, the role model for family life, once again, that we need to look to help move us forward to a more peaceful and joyful life. We know that marriages today have broken down for various reasons. Sometimes we don't slow down enough to take care of our own families, and we're out there working and playing ball and doing community service. But what do we need to do first? Take care of our own home and truly and try to make sure our house is in order before we leave our home to get somebody else's house in order. Very, very important message, I truly believe. And our Holy Family, you know, is right there with us to set the pace and to show us the way that we should do it. Very, very important with one mother and one father taking care of a child. And this is important. The average father spends less than 2 hours a week with his son or daughter as a result of all the activities, as a result of going to school, going to work, sports, hobbies, all kinds of things get in the way of that quality time, which is also important. And it's all temporary. Because with the passing of a mother or father, those opportunities are gone. And we have many friends in our lives who have lost a husband or wife due to various illnesses, car accidents, cancer, and so many things. My friends, in the new year, 2020, let us go forward, setting truly quality time for our children and for our marriages. Help us, Lord, to make each moment great. And you know, my friends, with our men in prison, they get 2 half-hour visits a week or a 1 hour visit a week. So the value of freedom is so important, and it's not forever. When men inside lose their families due to incarceration, and they have that separation for months and years, it's very, very difficult. And within the heart is an emptiness. There's an absence there, in the heart of a child, the heart of a wife, and the heart of our men inside. There's an emptiness. There's a void there that only God can fill. So I always tell the men, when you have a visit, make your visits great. Bring a lot of love to your family during the visit. When you have a chance to write a letter, write a letter from the heart. Write a letter of forgiveness, a letter of apology, a thank you letter for people who are putting time, you know, into your visit, or putting money on your book so that you can buy shoes inside, or sneakers, or toothpaste, or toothbrushes, or bags of potato chips, or soups, which is called commissary. And so we encourage our men to do that. And on the outside, when was the last time that you wrote a letter of thanks someone? When was the last time that you offered, you know, an apology? Do you need to send a letter of apology to someone? Is there someone in your life that you need to forgive because of a wound that you received? Or is there someone you need to apologize to? It's a new year. I want you to take action on this. And don't wait, because time is of the essence. There was a woman in our prayer group up at St. Ignatius many years ago. Her name was Olga, and she's since passed. Wonderful woman who made hats for us and for the Wings program. We gave out hundreds of her hats year after year. She was a wonderful person, and she also made meals for our little group who met on Tuesday nights at her home before our prayer group. And she shared with me this. She said she had a sister who she hadn't spoken to in more than 20 years, and something inspired her to call her sister one Christmas. And so she did, okay? But it took a couple of prompting for her to make that call. And she hadn't talked to her sister in over 20 years. Finally, she made the call. And when she made the call, she had about a 45-minute conversation with her sister. And basically to kind of make the peace. And when she got off the phone, you know, she went about her business. But wouldn't you know it, that within 2 weeks, her sister had died of natural causes. And so that prompting was the Holy Spirit within her, I truly believe, prompting her to make the call, to offer forgiveness, because God calls us to forgive. And he says that within the Our Father prayer. And, you know, the most powerful prayer that we have, the Our Father prayer taught to us by Jesus himself, calls for forgiveness. And the Lord, you know, calls us to forgive unconditionally. Well, she had that opportunity, and she took action and made the call. And 2 weeks later, that opportunity was gone. So thank God she made the call. And I thank Olga, who has passed. I pray for her. She is in the arms of our Lord, and she is well within arm's reach of our Blessed Mother Mary, St. Joseph, the Holy Family. She is being embraced by God our Father in heaven, and we just thank her for that sharing that story in that prayer group many years ago. And so we just pray for her and our children as well, and, of course, her good friends at St. Ignatius in Yardley. So, my friends, I want to take a little detour right now and move ahead into the upcoming gospel this week, which is the gospel of Matthew, Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. We're talking about the Epiphany of our Lord. This is the feast day of the Epiphany of our Lord. And the Epiphany truly is defined as the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles as represented by the Magi. So here it is, the gospel of Matthew. Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12, the visit of the Magi. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled. and all Jerusalem with him, assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." And their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, in the Gospel of Matthew here, we have the visit of the Magi, the Feast of the Epiphany, the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles as represented by the Magi. So this tradition we have, the Epiphany of the Lord upcoming this weekend, we celebrate. Some people refer to it as Little Christmas. And you know, in the Ukraine, this is the day actually that they celebrate Christmas on, the Feast of the Three Kings, the Epiphany of our Lord. And in other countries, like in Mexico, this also is a day that they celebrate to, you know, offer gifts once again to the children. So it's a special day, and it's a continuation, truly, of Christmas as we know it. And it's a time to really, continue bringing the joy and the love of God into the hearts and minds of other people. And I truly believe that in the Feast of the Epiphany, we have opportunity to do that. How much love can you bring into the hearts and minds of other people, into your wife, your children? How much love can you bring, my friends? Because God's second commandment, the greatest commandment, okay, second greatest commandment is to love one another. And with the visit of the Magi, okay, when the king's coming offering these gifts, what gifts can you bring? Very often we're looking for something that we want, but God here shows us people who are bringing to him. What gifts are we offering God himself? What are we bringing to the table each and every day? What can I do this year to get to the higher levels of gift giving with God, giving him more time, precious time, personal time in prayer, maybe your talent, giving time to other people, helping one another? The Lord says, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. And whatever you did not do, Joe Montone, for the least of your brothers, you didn't do it for me. So we look at the visit of the Magi, the giving of these gifts. You know, it's an opportunity for us to follow suit and to provide some gift for God himself. Something special that truly cannot even be purchased. Giving of yourself, your own life, your own time, and your treasure, your own talents. What can you give? And what kind of community service are you currently providing? Or is it all about me? What can you do for someone else? What is God calling you to this year to do for someone else? What is in your heart that you know you need to do? Like Mother Teresa, who had a heart to do more. She wanted to do more, and she had to leave her comfort zone in the convent and actually ask permission and leave to do more and to go out into the streets and to find the peace she was looking for, working with children and then the homeless and AIDS victims, opening up one home at a time, starting the Missionaries of Charity. What is in your heart? What do you have in your heart for God? What is the more that you must do to find the peace that you need? I want you to think about it and to take action, but take it slow. Pray about it. Think about it. And prepare yourself for going out and doing that more, because the time is of the essence. Alexander the Great said this on his deathbed in 300 BC. He said, "When I die, I have three wishes. Number one, I want the best doctors to carry my coffin for everybody to see. Number two, I want all my riches, precious stones and jewels scattered on the road to the cemetery. And number three, I want my arms and hands swinging outside the coffin for everyone to see." One of his generals said, "Alexander, these are three very unusual wishes. Can you explain?" Alexander the Great said this: "Number one, I want the best doctors to carry my coffin to show everybody that in the face of death, even the best doctors have no power to heal you. Number two, I want all my riches, precious stones and jewels scattered on the road to the cemetery to remind everyone that everything you've accumulated here remains here. You take none of it with you. And number three, I want my arms and hands swinging outside the coffin to remind everyone that you come into the world empty-handed, you leave empty-handed. The most powerful gift that you ever had was the gift of time, and that gift is now exhausted. So make the most of your time so that you can live, love, and die in peace." Alexander the Great. A powerful message for us, my friends, because truly, when we're out of time, we have no more opportunities to love God, to serve God, and to truly show that model to other people. We will have an end to that opportunity. So this year, the year 2020, I encourage you once again to get involved. Seek God out. He says, "Knock and the door shall be open for you. Seek and you will find." And these are the messages, my friend, in the Gospel of Matthew. So just getting to review our show today, my friends, I want to just review that we highlighted the great Holy Family as a role model for family life. We touched on the statistics of child abuse and child trafficking throughout the world, some of the challenges of abused children, neglected children. What can you and I do for our kids and other people's kids to eliminate abuse and neglect? And not only for the children, but we're all God's children. We see that also in nursing homes where there is an abundance of neglect and abuse. It's very, very important that we eliminate that at all levels. We also highlighted the WINGS program, and we ask for your prayers this year, my friends, for us to go forward. We're now in our 27th year with the WINGS program and our 9th year at CFCF in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. We're working with 22 men, and that number is going to increase as we go forward in this curriculum. And we ask you to really step up to the plate, my friends, and give us a call here at Holy Spirit Radio. And let us know if you need help. 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. Now, we only have a couple of minutes left of the show. I want to take a real moment now to thank Frank, our producer of our show, who does it week in and week out every day, every show, and he makes things happen. Things don't just happen. People make them happen. And he's out there doing the right thing. I want to thank Dale and Jane for the opportunity once again to be here on the air for another year in Finding God in Prison, and for truly being part of the radiothon that we had back in the fall, which is the Fall Radiothon 2019. And truly a great opportunity once again to bring the love of God into the hearts and minds of other people. And there is no greater gift, my friend, than the love of God. I truly believe that, that is the healer of all wounds and the problem solver. Getting to the love of God, understanding it, utilizing it to touch the hearts and minds of other people, and you never know where those people are. We also touched on the Gospel of Luke, highlighting the Feast of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, a role model for family life at a time when truly families are broken down. And we highlighted the Gospel of Matthew and the Feast of the Epiphany of our Lord, the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, represented by the Magi. My friends, we only have a couple of seconds left. This is Joe Montone, your host. I want to thank you for tuning in with us today and for being with us here at Holy Spirit Radio. We want to thank you for all your support given to our radio station. We wish you a blessed and happy new year. May the Lord God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Have a great day and a wonderful new year. We'll see you next time here at 1570 AM Holy Spirit Radio. Thank you and God bless.